back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Wednesday Night Dawn-o-mite. I am Don Tony. It is January 5th, 2022. I should know that date. Tomorrow is my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. He is in Florida with my mom right now. Yes. Yes. Performance Center. Remember this date, 2013. Remember that date. We'll get into that in a moment. Look, I obviously wanted to open up with the NXT releases that went down today. But before I even talk about that, shades of Susie Spirit tonight on Dynamite. I know for a lot of you out there, that name may not ring a bell. If you didn't see it at the very end, and they obviously went to the finish much sooner. That's why there was a little bit extra celebration at the end. For those that didn't see Dynamite tonight, towards the end of the main event, which was the Lucha Bros defending the tag titles against Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, Jurassic Express, there was a table set up outside the ring that Alex Abrahantes had set up with the idea of putting Jungle Boy or Luchasaurus through the table. We had a couple of spots teased of Luchasaurus going through the table. It did not happen. Instead, Rey Fénix went through the table. And look, man, I know in the past we have always cringed when it comes to Rey Fénix and some of his spots. Some of the aerial stuff he does is stuff we've never seen before because it's so goddamn risky. No one would have the balls to do what he does. Cannot blame it on that this time. This was just a freak accident. He went through the table, and you could see it right away. Online, they're already trying to, AEW is just trying to show only one camera shot, but his arm went completely backwards. It's got to be a broken arm. I mean, if this guy stepped in shit today and is lucky, it's a dislocated elbow at the least. He doesn't have that flexibility like Alexa Bliss does. That looked brutal. And as soon as I saw it, it gave me flashbacks of Susie Spirit. And let me be honest with you, if you have never seen the Susie Spirit spot, if you get nauseous at like spots like Sid Vicious when he broke his leg, don't even seek it out. You know, I know what some people are going to say. This might sound a little bit harsh, but hey, they were going to drop the tag titles. You know, if he was going to get injured, I mean, at least they don't have to just relinquish the belts. Man, that was brutal. That was brutal. I hope to God there is a miracle that this man did not break his arm. But, it was horrible. I mean, you could see immediately he was going like this. And you saw the first time the arm didn't go the way it was supposed to. And then they showed the replay, and I'm like, holy shit. Very, very horrible. So, best wishes go out to Rey Fénix. Best wishes go out to Rey Fénix. Just Google it, one fall. Susie Spirit, gorgeous ladies of wrestling glow. Just be prepared to see some very unsettling footage when she broke her arm. So, all right. I want to thank you all for tuning in. We're going to keep the momentum going of trying to fit 2 pounds of bologna in a 1 pound bag. We're going to get right into the news, the reviews, get out of here a little bit more than an hour. And before we talk about Dynamite, which honestly, I thought tonight was a fabulous show. It had a couple of moments that were kind of cacas. The Lucha Bros earlier in the night with Malakai Black playing Switchy, which we'll talk about in a little bit. No progression in the Julie Hart storyline, by the way. No debut by Brody King, which a lot of people thought should have happened a couple of weeks ago. But the opening match, Danielson and Hangman Page. You know, I said it the early part of tonight. I truthfully feel that I enjoyed their second matchup better than the first. I thought this, the first match told the story, and obviously it had to take an extended slow pace because you had to go an hour. But this one told a story about two guys that wanted that freaking championship. If I had a dollar every time there was a headbutt in the match today, I'd probably go pick up somebody on 42nd Street if they're still around and get me a little bit of suki suki. But before we get into all of that, let's talk about what went down earlier today. And look, man, I'm not going to beat around the bush about it. Yeah, this sucks. This sucks. William Regal today was released by WWE, as were a few others. Now, I don't rehearse. I don't write things down other than specific notes, which I'm going to share with you in a moment. But, you know, let's throw some facts out there. You know, we could be straight up factual and be emotional as well. You know, I mean, we throw facts out there. Other people throw emotional darts. I think of all the releases, WWE has done over the last 2 years, this has got to be near the top of the list of William Regal. It's not that he was going to return to the ring. And you could see the writing on the wall. When Karrion Kross was still there as champion, and they were teasing that William Regal, you know, may step down, and you saw those tears, you know, that was the beginning of the end of William Regal. And if anybody out there says that that's not true, yeah, they're just trying to sell you bullshit. And we could understand why the releases are happening. Doesn't mean we have to like it, though. Now, let's talk about a few things with some facts involved. WWE today released William Regal, who, see, I don't want to say that he was not a trainer. He was not part of creative. His official role was the head of global recruiting, the director of talent development, and a talent scout. You look at almost every person that has come through NXT in the last 7 years, that more than that, 9 years, that have made it to the main roster, who have gone to bigger and better things in other companies. They will tell you, and they're not saying it to just be nice and to try to get hits. They will tell you that William Regal is a big part of their success. That William Regal got them noticed by WWE. William Regal, you know, a couple of years ago when I said when Natty got traded to Raw, I thought that that might be the best move when they were doing those trades. Remember with Fox? Because of how she could help groom the younger stars of tomorrow. I actually thought that she would really help the women's roster. William Regal is so essential. That's why I wonder, and I'm not speculating, I'm not trying to report this as news, I wonder if this was more mutual on both sides. You know, William Regal, I don't believe, lives in the United States. I'm sure he may have temporary residence here, but the thing is that, you know, don't immediately think that WWE just pulled the plug on this guy, but I will say, of all the releases, this one sucks. Let me rephrase it. Of all the NXT releases in the last 2 years, this sucks more than them all because of how much he would stop. Somebody was telling a story today that they asked William Regal, somebody in NXT asked some advice about a wrist lock, you know, and it turned into a 40-minute conversation. you'll see star after star after star after star paying homage to this man because he has done so much, and a lot of it was not even something that he had to do. He wanted to do it. Ranjan Singh, who you knew more as the great Khali's manager, he's been working in creative. Ryan Katz, who still to this day, just to show you how bitter that little troll Mike Johnson is from PW Insider. When he talked about Ryan Katz and going over his previous bio, he would only mention Wrestling Society X and not even XPW. That's how much that little troll hated XPW, especially when it came to here in the Northeast in 2002. But GQ Money, Smiley, as a lot of people called him, that guy, so smooth, promos, that's what his job was more than anything in WWE, to help creative promos, things like that. He was let go. Allison Danger, the sister of Steve Corino, she was there for a very short period of time. I don't know why WWE gave up on her so quickly, because I know that there are women in NXT that absolutely loved being trained by Allison Danger. She was let go. Now, before I read you a quote from Triple H himself, I want to also get into the wrestlers who were released today. The wrestlers, Timothy Thatcher, Jesus, we just talked about it on day one. The recap, Timothy Thatcher, Danny Burch, Hideki Suzuki. Hideki Suzuki, we've said for a while now, guy never had a match. Like, I know he helped train and everything, but it just never kicked off the ground. Diamond Mind, he looked like a potted plant, let's be honest. You know, it sucks that people didn't get an opportunity, but trust me, with all due respect, Hideki Suzuki was not going to be a ratings changer in any way, shape, or form. He was expendable. He was expendable. Timothy Thatcher. A lot of people will remember this. Little trivia contest for a shout out right now to my live chat room. And by the way, in a little bit, we are going to pick live the winner of the Johnny Gargano signed NXT Triple Crown Championship plaque, 20x20, 24. It's huge. And I'll also announce the winners of all those women signed photos that we did on New Year's Eve, the Guess the Rampage rating. I have all the winners ready. But little trivia. I've said in the past that of all, I don't do video clips, if you notice. I usually just put up the episodes. I know a lot of people have been on my ass. You should put up individual clips about little things you say. I told you that expect the news to start coming out last week. Remember I told you that expect the news to start coming out that Jon Moxley is about to return? Did you see today? So people are telling me, DT, you got to put those little clips out there because that's the only way people are going to realize that a lot of this stuff you call way before. I don't care about being first. I just want to be right. But when I used to put up individual clips, the lowest viewed clip of any video clips that I've ever done on YouTube were me profiling two wrestlers who had signed with WWE. Does anybody remember who those two wrestlers were? They had just signed with WWE. They had the Performance Center shirt on. And I did a profile, gave their background on both the wrestlers. We talked about it for a few minutes. The lowest clicked video ever. Anybody remember who those two wrestlers were? They both came in at the same time. Thank you very much, Austin Nance. Thank you for always paying attention. Killer Cross, Timothy Thatcher. Even a year later, I was baffled that it was so disinterested by a lot of people. Timothy Thatcher was freaking awesome. I've always sung the praise of Timothy Thatcher, but he hasn't really been shown on TV at all. Training a little bit behind the scenes, but you think Timothy Thatcher wants to retire his wrestling career and be a trainer now? No. Guy still wants to fight. I don't know how many years he has left in his career. So Timothy Thatcher was let go. That should be a surprise to no one. And unfortunately, it didn't work out in the end. And as far as Danny Burch goes, look, you know, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, unfortunately, were not tearing the roof down in the ratings. If you remember when I used to cover the quarter-hour breakdowns for NXT before it became truly developmental again, they were ratings killers. And sure, I mean, we had an injury and the belts, I think they had to surrender the belts. It just never caught fire again. Danny Burch, expendable. I put Danny Burch almost in the same category as Bobby Fish. That's not a knock on Danny Burch, but, you know, he's expendable right now. So those were the ones released. Now, I want to say this in a very respectful way, okay? In a very respectful way. Every single person, from Wrestling Soup to JD from New York to yours truly to Ryan Satin to Sean Ross Sapp, to Troll Johnson, everybody out there over the last 2 years knew more releases are coming, more releases are coming, more releases are coming. And some people stuck to facts, some people stuck to emotion. And a lot of people weren't even people that I named tonight. But the thing is that when we took notice of The Office, WWE Films, their office in Stamford, Connecticut, and how they were releasing 40, 50 employees because they realized in 2021, why do we need 60 people in this department? We could do it with 30. Nick Khan came in and his role was to streamline WWE, make as much money as possible during a pandemic, during a recession, and that if a job could be done by one person instead of three, that's where they were going to go with. So, it happened to their offices. It happened to Raw. It happened to SmackDown. It happened a little bit when NXT. It was only a matter of time it was going to happen with some people that work behind the scenes in NXT. Now, this idea that, oh, they're killing Triple H's legacy. Mish and I talked about it on Patreon yesterday. This was before the releases. You go back to 2012. 2012, when NXT was just becoming, remember, it was Florida Championship Wrestling, and then they folded Florida Championship Wrestling, and then, they moved it to Orlando, it became NXT, and the rest is history. You look back then, the Usos, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, sure, some of these wrestlers were good on the indies, but they weren't drawing tens of thousands of people, thousands of people. They were drawing 600, 400, 700. The loudest of the loud on social media. You look at Sasha Banks, Bayley, Charlotte Flair. You look at Asuka, which probably never needed NXT, but you see how big she became. She became beloved by American fans, something that is very difficult to do as a Japanese wrestler in the United States. There are so many people that are on Raw and SmackDown now that came through Triple H. But a lot of people out there want you to believe that Karrion Kross gets released, Keith Lee gets released, Adam Cole decides to go elsewhere, that, oh, this is all killing Triple H. Remember? The big one! It's the big one! Here's a quote from Triple H, not even 5 years ago. NXT will constantly be fresh. It's like college football. You get a new team every few years. There are somewhere between 70 and 100 talents, men and women, down in a performance center that I feel all have the ability to become WWE superstars. If they don't, then we will let them go. But we feel they all have something to offer. It's about cultivating those talents and bringing them up at the right time to compete. NXT, wherever. At the end of the day, that's what the Performance Center, NXT, is all about. Giving them the tools and the platform so they could go out there, live or die, succeed or fail, on their own. People want to convince you that Triple H is a victim here. He's a clown. He's part of the machine. Nothing has ever changed. I will keep saying it till the day I die. I know it's the passionate in thing to do online because people know that drama gets the most attention. But you take notice that John Smith, who has $5 million invested in WWE stock that's on a, I'm just using a fictitious name, that's on a conference call, whenever they do their quarterly earnings, you never hear these millionaires and billionaires questioning, what is going on with Paul Levesque? You know, I keep reading on WrestlingSchmuck.com that you're killing his legacy, that everything he built, you're trying to shoot down. Not one millionaire or billionaire, not even the ones that invest just a couple of shares in stock. Nobody questions it. But WrestlingSchmuck.com thinks there's this big conspiracy. Let's kill everything that was Triple H. You know what the problem is? In 2016, which was only, what, 3 years? Not even 3 years after the Performance Center was built. They took their eye off the prize. Instead of it being a true developmental, it tried to become the alternate brand of WWE. Hey, of course, when you're developing Stars of Tomorrow, when you're training people, obviously you lose money. It's an investment. You put money out, you won't see the rewards for years and years and years. For some wrestlers, it is worth the trade-off. In other wrestlers, sometimes you got to cut your losses and move on. Nothing against Adam Cole. Nothing against Timothy Thatcher. Nothing against the older wrestlers. But you look at AEW starting 3 years ago, and you look at how certain people on social media especially tried to put AEW and NXT, compare the two. And obviously, NXT started to become something they shouldn't have been. Since March of 2020. Not 2021, 2020. Almost 2 years I've been on this show. And I said, WWE's got to go back to its roots. It's got to go back to 2012 when it created the Usos. It's got to go back to 2013 or 14, whenever, when Roman Reigns and all of them started to excel. They got to go back to when Sasha Banks and Bayley and everybody else became so beloved at what they do. They did a takeover, and people were so never getting an opportunity to see them live in person. They sold out 15,000 seats. They got to go back to the developmental. The problem is, when I say it, it's boring. Nobody wants to pay attention to facts. That's not spicy. No, I got to sit over here and be like, Vince, you cocksucker, old-fashioned motherfucker. You're killing this. You don't know what people want. You're trying to ruin this. You're trying to ruin that. And people want a reason to say this to WWE. You can't say this to WWE by saying, oh, they should go back to the roots. See, the difference is we try to come up with ideas to make it better. Other people only want to focus the ideas that make it worse. You notice the easy answer, get rid of Bruce. Get rid of Vince. Let Triple H leave. Go join up with Tony Khan. Make the super promotion. Triple H has been part of the machine since the fucking 90s. You tell me what changed. A $1 billion company. Triple H, arguably next to Nick Khan, could have been the most powerful person in WWE once Vince was gone. And millionaires and billionaires are not concerned about anything that's going on. But yet, somebody that makes $5 selling coffee, selling gas, not even working, you know, just a podcast and a GoFundMe, that they know the deal. Everybody out there wants a reason to curse, wants a reason to put things down, wants a reason to get as much attention as they can. It feels good. Feels good. You see people out there that can't stand AEW, but they got to tweet 30 times about it during the show because they want to get all the other people that don't like AEW to like what they say and acknowledge and retweet it and like, oh, it feels good. Everybody likes me. I'm popular. I don't watch hockey anymore. You see me ever writing about hockey? No, I write about the things that I like. I write about the things that I want to see. So, as far as WWE getting rid of all the trainers, there's nobody left. Shawn Michaels, that's it. They get rid of Shawn Michaels, NXT is dead. Who's going to train the stars of tomorrow? That was today. Let me share something with you. Somebody had asked me, I don't want to out him, somebody asked me on social media earlier about trainers and this and that. I want to give you all a little 411, and I did do research on this. 2002, OVW that created Batista, Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin, Randy Orton, John Cena, and a bunch of others. Chat room, shout out, whoever could tell me this. Who are the three people that were involved in OVW that were most responsible for creating those massive, you know, combined maybe billion-dollar investments? Could you tell me? In 2002, without having to Google it, does anybody out there remember who the three people were? Thank you very much, Michael Gonzalez. Jim Cornette was one. Who else? Who else? Danny Davis, Harris B., shout out to you. Danny Davis, one other. Thank you, Kevin Milwaukee, Al Snow. Think about 2002. And think about all the times for the last 22 months, I said they got to go back to their roots. They created those stars of tomorrow and got them prepared for the main roster. Not to get 600,000 viewers on NXT, not to be the alternative for WWE, not to be this anti-AEW alternative. No, the idea is to get them to the main roster. You show me where NXT made any money off of merchandise. You tell me the last time any of you out there bought NXT memorabilia, NXT merch, anything. You see the amount of money that they're paying for Adam Cole, for Johnny Gargano, for Keith Lee, Killer Cross, and it goes down the line. I'm not saying that they don't deserve the money that they were getting. Some of them were definitely underpaid. When you add all those salaries, set, you think these trainers were only getting $12 an hour? You add up all the salaries of all the wrestlers in NXT, that's not what NXT was supposed to be. You set up a performance center with seven rings and all of this stuff. Obviously, you need people to work there, but the idea is to prepare them so then once they get on NXT, they know what they're doing. And ultimately, go to Raw or SmackDown, they know what they're doing. Just because somebody was able to draw 600 on the indie circuit doesn't mean that they're going to draw 6,000. And guess what? When people belittle people who are in NXT, because a lot of the wrestlers who ended up getting released were getting shitted out of social media all the time. You know, you keep doing that. WWE is like, man, you know, maybe we made a mistake on our investment. Stop shitting on everybody. You see, like, some of the people are NXT now. Some of them haven't even had 10 matches yet. And people are, like, throwing them under the bus. NXT is not doing house shows right now. They're not going to little areas because of COVID and everything else. TV is their only opportunity to do anything in front of a live crowd. You think some people would go aside and say, hey, you know, you got to look at this, and this. And this is why we got to, you know, you got to let it happen. Look at Jade Cargill. First ever TBS Women's Champion. And you saw that match today. You and I called that match last week. All it was going to be is Ruby. My arm. My whole. That's what it's going to be. Every person that faces Jade is either going to be a squash match or they're going to sell some crazy ass injury during the match. So it could go slow and methodical and this and that. That's how AEW wants to do it. That's fine. That's their prerogative. But don't look at that, and then you look at someone else, and it's because if Jade Cargill would have won the NXT Women's Champion in a match like that tonight, you would have saw these people with big thumbnails and all this attention stuff. Like, yeah, look, wet dream for Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon, Jade Cargill. That's what you would have saw. In 2012, right before this was created, the trainers in WWE for NXT Florida Championship Wrestling, Bill DeMont, yes, he ended up getting let go. Triple H hire, after all the allegations, still brought back. Bill DeMott, Ricky Steamboat, who left in 2013 after they released his son from developmental. Sara Del Rey, who is still there. Terry Taylor, who is still there. Joey Mercury, Norman Smiley, who is still there. We go to 2014, 8 years ago. Their trainers for NXT, Bill DeMott, who had left in 15, Sara Del Rey, still there. Shawn Michaels, still there. Terry Taylor, still there. Steve Corino, still there. Adam Pearce, still there, little different role now. Scotty Tuhati, just left. Norman Smiley, still there. 2018, Matt Bloom, A-Train, the head trainer since 2015, replaced Bill DeMont, has been the head trainer, still there 7 years later. Sara Del Rey, still there. Shawn Michaels, still there. Norman Smiley, Terry Taylor, Robbie Brookside, all still there. Steve Corino, still there. I think Johnny Moss may still be there. 2021, they're all still there. William Regal was not an NXT trainer, although he was so instrumental in so many. That's why I say, of all the releases in NXT, William Regal's was the worst. But a side of me wonders if there's more to this story. Might have been more mutual than you think. Might be more mutual. You know, he's not 40 years old anymore. And by the way, for AEW people, you know, because he used to go out and do the whole War Games thing. All I saw today was, oh, could you imagine? AEW, you got to do it. William Regal's got to be the GM. So he could go out there. Blood and guts. Blood and guts. Blood and guts. Oh, what was that quote that Cody said a while back? We don't want to insult the fans' intelligence with a GM. Ooh, kind of hurts now. Guys, gals, it sucks that William Regal was let go. And it sucks that some people lose their jobs. WWE issued a statement today. WWE said, this is their statement today, with the continued evolution of NXT 2.0, we've decided to part ways with some of the staff based in our performance center. We thank them for their many contributions throughout the years and wish them the best. Why are they going to spend that crazy amount of money on established wrestlers that, you know, have no history of drawing crazy attendances elsewhere or extra bloated payroll with extra trainers that are not necessary? I mean, look, you know what's funny? They let go, 100 people since last year, wrestlers? You saw the latest developmental class. You saw Rock C. Remember, you know, she Ring of Honor Women's Champion, something? WWE tryout a couple of weeks ago. Where was everybody online to say, Rock, what are you, fucking stupid? Don't you fucking see what's going on? How could you sign? How could you even think about that? What, is something wrong with you? Well, I know Ring of Honor is on hiatus. What are you, stupid? Nobody did that. Because at the end of the day, they know that this is where the destination is for most people. The thing is, everybody that gets let go, Killer Cross just said it a week ago. They know the deal when they sign. They know what they're getting into. And you and I have talked about this before. When someone signs anyway, they think they're the exception to the rule. They think that they're something, they have special qualities about themselves that WWE will not say no. They can't say no. They might have released those people, but I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. And they think that they have something that WWE wants. It is risk. It is risk. So when you see all these very loud, outspoken people out there, and I bring it up again, when you see other people getting tryouts, showing up at the performance center, trying to get work, you wonder why these people are not calling those people out. Are you fucking stupid? You get hired and you get released. You deserve it. Because you see what's going on. No. They get, suddenly, they shut up. Because all it is about the drama shit. WWE, you look at all the trainers that I just mentioned that have been there for 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 years. And people will make you think that there's nobody left. There's nobody left. There's nobody left to train them. That is the facts. It still sucks. No question, it sucks. But those are the facts. And you will see how many people will leave all that out because they just want to get under people's emotions. They want everybody. They, what do you think? All the websites today, oh, WWE's trying to release all the Triple H's employees. Who the fuck did they release? That is like a Triple H lifer. William Regal's been there before NXT. William Regal was there in the early stages of NXT. He was in WWE for long before that. We don't know the full reason. What? Timothy Thatcher? Are you kidding me? That they would have kept him and suddenly it would have been a ratings draw? Come on. So many people online, he's bland, he this. He gets released. Oh my God, I can't wait to see him on Bloodsport. Those are the facts, and the facts are not sexy enough, and that's why you see very little attention on that, but someone else could say something totally outrageous, and you'll see tens of thousands of people flock to it. So there you go. Those are the releases. I wanted to dedicate some time to it because, again, you know, everybody saw this coming. Everybody saw this coming. Whether people like Mish call it a bus flip or others, every department is on notice. We said it 2 weeks ago. If you do not bring it to the table now, you will be let go. Why are these wrestlers still signing these types of contracts? That if they get let go with the trainers, 30 days, this and that, why not sign in guaranteed money? It's the same reason why Zelina Vega, she insisted on a union. Gabrielle Carteris, acts like she gives it. Andrew Yang, didn't we call it? Over a year ago, I said, you'll look back at 2020 and realize Andrew Yang did nothing but tweet. He did gots, zero, nothing, nada for wrestling. When Zelina Vega thought that she had the whole wrestling world behind her, supporting her, everybody joining up with her, to fight the machine and make a difference, she turned around and nobody was there. Everybody acts like they know exactly what's going on. They know exactly what the deal is in social media, especially people that aren't in the business. And they can't even fucking handle a paper route. They do nothing. They do nothing. So, anyway, let's talk a little bit about AEW tonight. We'll briefly go over NXT yesterday. I don't think NXT was a surprise for most of us. I think every prediction we got right, all the bright people won yesterday. But I will say one last thing about NXT. Why do you think they called it 2.0? Why do you think they changed the colors? Why do you think they changed everything they did on the TV? Because when people see the presentation, it will not be mixed up as the third brand, the alternative to Raw and SmackDown. WWE was spending tens of millions of dollars on the Performance Center and NXT with almost no merchandise revenue, collectibles, anything like that. Almost nothing. They were overpaying. It was bloated. The payroll was freaking bloated. So they don't want anybody to look at this NXT and get it mixed up with the Undisputed Era, with this. I'm not saying I didn't like it. I enjoyed. You see how many prizes I've given away over the last 2 years? And you see the wrestlers that we always focus on? These are wrestlers that are established, that do bring it. But if you have somebody that doesn't want to go to the main roster, or someone that doesn't want to travel around the world, that gets to work for AEW, cuts a promo 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row, like Adam Cole, and then gets to wrestle Jake Atlas, and then he doesn't wrestle for another week or two, and then he could game, he could go on Twitch and this and that, and his income is almost similar to what he does in NXT. You're going to keep somebody like that in NXT? Why? Why are you going to pay someone hundreds of thousands of dollars if that wrestler does not want to go to the main brand, is not interested for the most part, that is happy where they are? That's not what NXT was supposed to be. Again, I'm not going to read it again, but rewind and listen to that quote from Triple H from less than 5 years ago. No one will post that quote because it's so against what, God forbid, Triple H is really one of them. He was always one of them. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but people are trying to convince you something otherwise. There's an old saying, if you say something a certain number of times, people stop believing it. You know, look at the people that made the fake profiles on social media for 5, 10, 20 years. They're telling you that they're a person that they're not. After a while, they actually believe that they're that person. That's what people do. They keep telling you and 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 telling you. And you hear it so many times, it's got to be true. It's got to be true. All right. Let's talk about AEW Dynamite tonight. Not going to get into every little detail of tonight's show. We'll get into a couple of super chats afterwards. Dynamite opened up with Bryan Danielson versus Hangman Page, which was awesome. Thank God it didn't go to the judges. The judges, by the way, were Jerry Lynn, Mark Henry, and Paul White. The idea was if they go to a draw, you go to the judges. Now, honestly, if I was AEW, I would do that with every world title match from now on. Now, you're not going to get a world title match all the time, but whenever you have they don't use heavyweight. Remember, that's a banned word in AEW. But when the world championship gets defended, they should always have that judges. Always keep that thought in the back of your mind that it could go to a draw. I feared that it would go to a draw again. But if you notice on the thumbnail, I put the question mark because you hold out hope that they don't go to a draw. And sure enough, they didn't. The match went about a half an hour. Now, personally, the way these guys got busted open and how freaking physical it was, I mean, you really didn't have any time-eating moments. I mean, it was just, I loved this second match more than I loved the first one. And it got brutal. And it got very bloody. And this picture that I'm showing you is not even at the peak of Bryan Danielson, especially bleeding up a storm. And yes, I without a doubt, there was some of you out there that thought it was not going to go to the judges. Good. I'm relieved. Let me tell you something. Tonight, AEW did a few things that I can't help but to applaud tremendously. Number one, they did not go to the draw. Now, you look at the card and how stacked it was. We were trying to figure that out. You remember over the weekend, we were trying to figure out, okay, you know, women's match will probably get like 8 minutes. And people are like, no, it's got to, I think Mish said, no, it's got to go 10 or 12. And I think he was right. And then you look at the Lucha Bros and Jurassic Express, that's got to go at least 12, 13 minutes. And then you add in commercials and you see that there was a lot being offered for tonight. So it was really, and then you got to remember the intros of each wrestler. And then if they go to the judges, there's got to be a little bit of suspense. So that's another 5 minutes of eating time. So it was really difficult to fit in an hour. Thank God they didn't do it. I mean, but this match, to me, told a better story than it did in the first one. The first one told the story, no question, and it went an hour, time limit draw. And it was spectacular. But this one, you felt like two guys that were trying to win that title at all costs. Hangman Page doing everything he possibly could to retain that championship. Bryan Danielson, I mean, you know, headbutt after headbutt after headbutt. And then you get, you know, Hangman Page, he starts bleeding like a pig and he starts doing jumping jacks and this and that. It was really, really physical. You know, again, it sucked with the commercial breaks, but for, maybe because it was only 30 minutes this time, we didn't have, you know, four commercial breaks. That's another awesome thing about having the match shorter. You don't have to go to those two extra commercial breaks. And, you know, there was little subtle things during the match. I really got a kick out of Bryan Danielson doing the cradle pile driver. You remember, that's Jerry Lynn's finisher. He was one of the judges. And you think to yourself, okay, is that Bryan Danielson in storyline trying to impress the judge? And you see Jerry Lynn, like, taking notes and this and that. Match was spectacular. It was brutal. Again, if you had a dollar for every time they got a headbutt, you might be able to buy like an autographed AEW picture from Upper Deck. And yes, I'm exaggerating. And if you've never seen the collectibles up for sale on Upper Deck, go check it out. It'll blow your mind at the prices. Honestly, it'll blow your mind. Hangman Page hitting the buckshot lariat several times. And I said it on social media, and I'll say it again here now. One of the things that I had said even on Monday in closing of Breakfast Soup Raw is you cannot have Hangman Page have two title defenses and both of them end in either a draws on both, or a loss. You talk about people frustrated with Big E's championship run. Could you imagine if Hangman Page would have lost tonight against Bryan Danielson? Sure. Most people would love it. A lot of people think Bryan Danielson is the MVP of AEW right now. And I don't argue that. But Hangman Page, he's got to get some decisive wins. Now, you know, obviously we didn't have any interference. We didn't have any, you know, people coming out. And I want to mention this very quickly. Best wishes go out to Matt Jackson and Brandon Cutler. They both are dealing with COVID right now. So that pre-recorded thing where Adam Cole was saying, Brandon, is that on? That doesn't mean that Brandon was behind the camera. But they're both dealing with COVID. So we hope that they're okay. Hopefully they'll be back by next week. You know, just get better. As much as I don't like Brandon Cutler's character, I mean, personally, I have nothing against the guy. But you didn't have any antics outside the ring. And earlier I said it, Bryan Danielson loses nothing by losing tonight. And if you notice, AEW, when it comes to Dark and when it comes to Elevation, it's about padding the numbers. It's mostly about padding the numbers. And that's why you see some of the records, and then you realize somebody's only been on Dynamite twice during a whole year, and like, where all these wins come from? And then you realize who most of their opponents were. But, you know, so many people who have come in, like Punk and Cole and Bryan Danielson and a few others, you know, it started to feel like AEW is afraid to have them lose. And tonight they had Adam Hangman Page pin Bryan Danielson after a buckshot lariat, after a physical, brutal match with both of them bleeding heavily. Bryan Danielson loses nothing, and Hangman Page gets that decisive victory that he needed. He needed a decisive victory. Now, there's no reason why you can't do that again. If Kenny Omega is able to come back soon, you could have that three-way that a lot of people have been fantasizing. Remember the match with Omega and Danielson, how that ended up. So there's no reason why they can't do that. Hangman Page retains the championship. Bryan Danielson gets his first loss. and Bryan Danielson loses no momentum, no stock whatsoever. Awesome match. Loved it. Felt like two people that truly were trying to fight for a title. Excellent. Now we get Bizarro Land. And I'm doing timestamps if you see me writing. MJF was supposed to take on Sean Dean. Captain Sean Dean. Thank you for your service. I mean that. He's supposed to have a match. CM Punk runs out. Oh, wait a minute. Last week, CM Punk saying, oh, MJF wants to move on. No problem. I want a championship anyway. And for the last 7 days, a lot of people online, including me, were like, MJF and CM Punk should last another couple of months. You don't try to fix what's not broken. That is money. There's no reason to end that feud soon. The Darby Allin, oh, this is one of the reasons why I came to AEW, to have one match. And three days after, Darby versus Punk, Punk is on the mic. My wife told me, who's next? Who are you going to take on next? Why didn't the feud end so quick? Okay, look back on it, fine. But MJF, how do you, you got to keep that going. And tonight, you could see AEW, okay, we're going to keep that feud going. And now, if you think about semantics, MJF was going to take on Sean Dean. CM Punk runs out, chases MJF down the rampway. CM Punk is in the ring with Sean Dean. And I think it was Aubrey Edwards calls for the bell. Start the match. Now, if you want to really play semantics here, that was kind of stupid. Because why didn't Aubrey Edwards insist that CM Punk leave the ring? You're not in this match. Leave the ring. No, she's just there watching CM Punk standing in the ring. She rings the bell anyway, even though CM Punk is standing in the middle of the ring. I thought, oh, are we getting CM Punk versus Sean Dean? But no, she started the match, so it's MJF versus Sean Dean, and CM Punk is standing right in the middle of the ring and not doing anything about it. So CM Punk hits the go-to-sleep on Sean Dean, and because it was MJF versus Sean Dean, and Punk hit Sean Dean, MJF was disqualified. So not only do we get MJF with a loss, but we get what I have been insisting needed to happen, and I've been saying it for months. We get a goddamn DQ victory. A DQ in AEW. You see, you can do DQs and it be entertaining. Now, most people didn't give a crap that CM Punk was in the ring when they still called for the bell, but, you know, it was still, he got disqualified. So now they start going after each other on the mic. And yes, they bring up Roddy Piper once again. MJF, you know, talking about him. Oh, you know, you think you're Roddy Piper? The last time I checked, Roddy Piper was talented enough to main event at WrestleMania. Oh! Insult! And if I don't start getting respect here in AEW, maybe I will main event a WrestleMania. Oh, I love it. I love it. Free agent storyline. We haven't had one of those in a while. They used to do that in ECW. Shane Douglas did it in 1995. Showing up in the ECW arena wearing the Monday Night Raw shirt. Cactus Jack with the WWF shirt. I remember those days. No, I have no problem with what they're doing with that. And then you have CM Punk saying to MJF, if you think the grass is greener, you know, by going to WWE, go. Maybe one day you'll main event night four of a buy one, get one free extravaganza, like a four-day WrestleMania. Oh, nice insults. So anyway, CM Punk wants to fight MJF. Teasing next week. And MJF, you want to fight? You want to fight next week? It'll be CM Punk versus Wardlow. And Punk is like, you see, that's the difference between you, me, and Roddy Piper. Me and Roddy Piper would fight anyone at any time. You know, MJF is pretty much a pussy. So that's what we get next week. And now I'm starting to wonder, could next week be the week? I don't know if it's that soon, but you just feel that one week very soon, Sean Spears is going to whack Wardlow with the chair. A lot of people think that Wardlow is going to turn on Sean Spears. I'm thinking Sean Spears is going to hit Wardlow with a chair. And I think that's the way this may start ending up. But so next week, we got CM Punk versus Wardlow. All right. Okay. Now, I know I'm going a little out of turn, but Wardlow would come out a little bit later and beat Antonio Zambrano. Before the match, you have Sean Spears attack Zambrano with a Death Valley driver outside the ring. Wardlow looking a little bit pissed off. I don't need your shit. But Wardlow does the powerbomb party anyway, gets the win. Again, I think Sean Spears is going to be the one to turn on Wardlow. We get Chris Jericho comes out. And I'll be honest with you, this felt like WWE shit. He comes out, 2.0 comes out, and Jericho's making fun of Matt. I don't know what his leg, because his last name is in AEW, is Matt Martell in NXT. Oh, no, you got a square head. It looks like a post-it note. Hey, Newark, is it a square head or is it a pinhead? Square head, pinhead. It felt like a WWE skit. So what ends up happening is Jericho comes out originally. He's happy to be back on TBS. The last time he was on TBS was April 7th, 1999. He lost to Booker T on Thunder. Then 2.0 come out. He makes fun of them. They insult him a little bit. And sure enough, Daniel Garcia hits the ring, tries to attack Jericho. Jericho has his baseball bat. And we get Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz chased him away. And then we find out on Rampage, you know, there's the drawing for Friday night. Street fight. No DQ, no countouts, anything goes. It's going to be Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz versus 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. Something tells me Jericho will get involved in that. Sounds like a fun match, but you see the formula that they're starting to go with Fridays. Okay. And we didn't see like a lot of bad talking back and forth between Jericho and Eddie Kingston today because they had so many skits that they wanted to plan. They had to go to another segment almost immediately after. Jake Atlas, who has signed with AEW. Now, if anybody follows my shows, you know that, you know, I like Jake Atlas. And I think it's a nice little pickup for AEW. Let's keep the signing in perspective. Right now, it's the new car scent. He got a win over Serpentigo. This side is a little sore. Big deal. Friday, he gets Adam Cole. Wow. Jake Atlas versus Adam Cole in Rampage. Okay. Yeah, I'll buy it. Jake Atlas is so freaking talented, and he does have some great revolutionary moves. Just keep the contract in perspective because you look at that roster, and it's going to be really, really – look at fucking Miro. Let's be honest, everyone. We've been talking about this. This is almost like Veer. It's almost it's not anywhere near Veer territory, but it's getting there quick. The Redeemer in the room with the white background. Oh, I saw God. I'm the Redeemer. God told me the way, and everybody better look out. Yeah, Miro is hanging out with Veer right now. You know, you see what happens when you have too many goddamn people on the roster? How do you like that Jay Lethal run so far on Dynamite? How do you like that so far? So you think Jake Atlas is going to leapfrog all these people? He'll get a win, and then you'll see Dark win, Elevation win, Dark and Elevation win, and he'll get a match, you know, maybe on Dynamite a couple of weeks from now, and he'll get nothing. I mean, that's pretty much what you're going to see. It's a nice little signing. You know that some wrestlers are not going to be brought back in 2023 in AEW. So believe me, Jake Atlas will be replacing somebody who is on the roster right now that is getting very, very little time. So it's a nice little signing. But remember what the contracts are. A lot of people still don't understand what these contracts are. You know, so once you understand what the contracts are, you know, oh, all right, here's the signing. He'll still be able to do other places, this and that. And he'll get a little. But it's nice. It's nice to know that a promotion wants you. And Jake Atlas works good enough that he will definitely give them their money's worth. But, you know, as far as this making like a loot, you know, like a huge signing, I wouldn't go that far. Jake Atlas is a nice signing. Keep it in perspective for what it is, and I think he'll do fine. So that's what we have to look forward to on Friday. And Adam Cole with the little dig. How's about I buy you a one-way ticket back to Orlando? Okay. All right. So now we get to Thunder Rosa. Mercedes Martinez, the distractions that were absolutely needed for Jade Cargill versus Ruby Riott for the first ever TBS Women's Championship. Now, as I said before, if you think they put the belt on Jade Cargill because of the Big Swall stuff, you are a fucking idiot. This tournament has been going on for months. Jade Cargill was always the odds-on favorite to win it. Do I think she is ready to be a champion? No. Because who is she going to face? You saw the match with Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa had to sell an injury the entire match, and Mercedes Martinez had to get involved for Thunder Rosa to lose. So now Ruby Soho takes on Jade Cargill, and if you really looked at it closely, the match was not very good. Yes, it was nice to see Jade Cargill's daughter there. She's a mom. You know, I have nothing against that. You know, but I'm watching it for entertainment. I'm not watching it for, you know, other reasons. You know, Jade Cargill's been working her ass off. There's no question. Jade Cargill is still new in wrestling. Jade Cargill has her whole career ahead of her. Jade Cargill will be a huge superstar down the line. I felt that this was rushed. And last week, when, if you go back to last week's show, I said, this is how the match is going to go down. The entire match, Ruby is going to sell. Like she's constipated. That's what we did. That she did the whole match. Isn't it funny? Later on when she was in the back and Britt Baker attacked her and Jamie Hayter punched her in that left shoulder at least 10 times. Everybody was punching her. And then they ran away and Ruby forgot to sell the shoulder. She actually was leaning on the floor like this because that was probably pre-recorded and they didn't think with the wherewithal later on, hey, you know, you're going to be selling the left shoulder. You might as well sell it in this skit too. You know, little things like that, that'll improve. But this match was not good. It was not good. It went to commercial breaks. It was slow. It was methodical. Some of the spots were just really, really sloppy, to say it bluntly. They had to do a distraction, so Mercedes Martinez tries to get involved. Then you have Thunder Rosa who chases Mercedes Martinez away, and that eats up 2 minutes of the match, the distraction. Hook, line, and sinker, exactly what we thought was going to happen last week. The problem with Jade Cargill winning, I don't care if she's white, black, blue. I don't care if she's green, yellow, blue, black. I don't care. I'm watching wrestling. I'm watching entertainment. And I'm looking at all the women on that roster that a lot of people feel should be champion right now. Ruby Soho is one. Thunder Rosa is one. Sheeta is one. Serena Deeb is one. You could go down the list. They have some talented women that really have, you know, been in the business for a while. every time Jade Cargill gets in the ring, if you watch her matches on Dark and you watch the matches on Elevation, that is the same type of match you're going to get with her as champion. She is either going to fight talent that have no business facing a champion right now, or every person is going to have to sell some major injury to slow it down. And that's what Ruby does better than anything. So what happens? Ruby does that the entire match, selling the shoulder. She gets a little offense. She's getting momentum. I'm going to win. Ruby did not come across as someone trying to make history and become the first ever TBS champion. Didn't feel that way. Jade Cargill came across as somebody who wanted it. Ruby Soho did not tell a story of somebody who was in the TBS finals. It was not good. Jade Cargill, she hits her finisher to Jaded off the top rope. That didn't look good either. She gets the win. First ever TBS champion. Serena Deeb cuts a promo on Hikaru Shida. They will be facing each other next week. Malakai Black against Brian Pillman Jr., Julie Hart, wearing the eye patch, you know, because mist fucks up your eye for months, weeks. Anyway, match was okay. Commercial break was not needed. End of the match, Brian Pillman Jr. goes for Air Pillman. He crashes, he burns. Malakai Black with the black mask gets the win. Then, like, if you thought last week was awful, when the lights went out and it came back on and Malakai Black wasn't totally in the back yet, he's just walking away like nothing. Tonight, Malakai Black hits the ring again. He wins, walks away like he's going to leave. Julie Hart is tending to Brian Pillman Jr. Malakai goes back in the ring. Julie Hart acting like she's like scared shit. The Lucha Bros come out. Now just picture this. Malakai Black is in the ring, and the Lucha Bros are on the rampway. The lights go out. You hear a faint chant of Brody, Brody, for Brody King. No surprises. Instead, the lights come back on, and the only thing that happened were the Lucha Bros were now in the ring, and Malakai Black was on the rampway. They played switchy. He turned the lights off, and we trade places. They played switchy. Hey, you want to play switchy? We turn the lights off, and when we turn them back on, wherever I was, you'll be, and wherever you be, I was. I think it's the same thing. Awful. Awful. That's all it was. They turn the lights off, they turn the lights back on, and they're in opposite positions. Oh, awful. So now they advertise Battle of the Belts. It's amazing how many people still did not know that that was only a one-hour show. The only matches advertised, Riho versus Britt Baker, Cody versus Sammy Guevara. As I said a couple of weeks ago, it's the battle of some belts. Next week on Dynamite, we get CM Punk versus Wardlow, Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb, Powerhouse Hobbs versus Dante Martin. Also next week, Hook is going to be taking on Aaron Solo. I think we are getting Ruby Soho and Riho versus Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker on Rampage the night before Battle of the Belts. Street Fight. Eddie Kingston, Santana and Ortiz versus Daniel Garcia in 2.0. Why do I think that there was another match? There might have been another match scheduled, but I know Hook versus Aaron Solo, and, you know, it almost feels like Hook is the babyface in this match. And, yes, he's getting cheered and everything, but, you know, Hook is still part of Team Taz. It's supposed to be jeered, not cheered. So we get the main event, and there's really not much for me to add other than what I said earlier. You know, we had a fun match. Some of it, you know, we had some pretty cool high spots. I thought Luchasaurus, with all due respect to everyone, I know he is an extremely popular wrestler, but the end of that match, it looked pretty awful. There was one point where Luchasaurus was outside the ring, and he's standing there waiting for Penta to kick him in the head. There was another moment where Rey Fénix had Jungle Boy outside the ring and was holding him. And Luchasaurus is just looking up, like just watching him hold him. And yes, Penta jumped over Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus tried to stop him. But it looked awful because they're setting up moves on Jungle Boy and he's just standing there watching it. You got to go back and you got to watch little things like that. And that is just sloppy. I mean, don't get me wrong. The match was worthy of main event and it was a lot of fun. And believe me, the match went either way. But yeah, the zero selling, I mean, you got to be used to that. You watch AEW, you got to be used to that. That's what it is. But the table spot is the story. Rey Fénix, very serious injury. Like I said, at best, it's a dislocated elbow. It looks like a broken arm. I mean, when you go from, you know, standing on the apron, through the table, through the floor, and your arm is completely bent backwards, and the momentum of a wrestler, you know, too, it's, oh, it was brutal. Like, I will not be watching any replays. That, like I said earlier, you go and you Google Susie Spirit, that's what it felt like. I mean, again, you could compare Sid Vicious, but Sid was the leg, but his arm, bad, bad, bad. He is going to be out for quite some time. What do you do with Luchasaurus right now? What do you do with Luchasaurus? Because now you got Eddie Kingston with Santana Ortiz. Now, look, you do have John Moxley coming back very, very soon. We talked about that last week. Moxley, if he reunites with Eddie Kingston, then maybe Luchasaurus somehow get, I don't know what you do, maybe Pac, if Pac is able to compete, maybe have Pac and Luchasaurus, Penta for a little while. But, yeah, that looks brutal. I hope Rey Fénix, you know, my God, I mean, some people's careers ended because of an arm injury that bad. I'm not saying his career is over, but shit, that is just brutal. That was just brutal. So, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy are your new tag champs. Again, they went to the finish early because of the injury to Rey Fénix. Little extra celebration time in the end, showing Malakai just observing the match. And, you know, I think the next opponents could be Malakai and Andrade, or maybe, could be anybody. I mean, they do have quite a few tag teams there. I mean, you could always do something again with Dante Martin if they do something with him and Leo Rush. I don't know. But right now, I'm sure everybody in that locker room is thinking about Rey Fénix more than anything else. So that was your episode of Dynamite. Fun show. Really kicked off 2022 in a great way outside of the injury. So NXT, New Year's Evil. You know, yesterday it was about four matches. And if you remember my predictions last week, we got all the matches right. Everybody that should have won, won. Just to go over it briefly, Carmelo Hayes, who is the NXT North American champion, defeats Roderick Strong, who is the Cruiserweight champion. The belts are unified. Excellent match. You know, again, a lot of people think, oh, Roderick Strong, let him go to AEW, complete the Undisputed Era. Roderick Strong, if you remember my history of that group, you know, that was added, you know, due to an injury more than anything else. I don't know if Roderick Strong should be added. I mean, AEW, you know that they're going to create a Trios title. And one of my predictions for 2022 is that the Trios title will debut in 2022. So you want to focus on Trios. And honestly, the best trio out of them four, in my opinion, is Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole, especially because of the tag team history between Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. Some newer fans out there probably have no idea how far back they go as a tag team. So Carmelo Hayes now has the unified title. I don't know where this leaves Roderick Strong only because of NXT. Again, it should be no surprise of what's going on in NXT. You know, you think back when we brought up OVW. OVW had three people that were responsible for bringing up those stars of tomorrow. You would have an older wrestler here and there. But to keep a title on Roderick Strong, not necessary. I mean, no one is going to tell me that NXT 2.0 has sucked since it was brought back to its roots. Look at how much of a star Carmella Hayes is turning into. You think of Harland, which I love. You look at Joe Gacy, which I absolutely enjoy. You look at Bron Breakker, who is now the NXT heavyweight champion. You look at some of the women that are still in the company. Io Shirai is not 50 years old. Raquel Gonzalez is still, you know, honing her skills. I mean, they do have a nice freaking nucleus. And you look at how many years Bayley and Sasha Banks were in NXT. You look at how many years Asuka was in NXT. You look at how many years Charlotte was in NXT. Charlotte maybe fast track more than anybody else. So some of these wrestlers are going to be in NXT for a few years. Yeah. How long was John Cena or Randy Orton and others in OVW? They were there for a little bit. So, you know, there's no rush. You know, people, anybody out there that still tries to treat NXT as a third brand is either in denial or intentionally trying to swerve people, because this has been a developmental territory again for months and months and months. And it was not about killing the black and gold. I loved the little, you know, the visual of Bron Breakker kicking that old X down. It's not stabbing the knife in anybody's heart. When the black and gold was around, they couldn't even get 1 million viewers on TV. They couldn't even get 800,000 unless it was a themed event with Jesus Christ main eventing the show. You're not going to have that kind of payroll between wrestlers and trainers and everything else and only get 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 viewers. You're not going to do it. So the black and gold, stop insisting that it's dead. Listen to the Triple H quote from less than 5 years ago. Every few years it turns over. It's nothing different. It's just that they were not prepared for it. They were in denial. They insisted that there was some ulterior motive. WWE does not want NXT to be a third brand unless NXT could generate revenue like a third brand. NXT is trying to build the stars of tomorrow. And unfortunately, even the stars that were established that were on that show when AEW was also on Wednesday night, they couldn't draw. They couldn't get merchandise sold. They couldn't get, it was too much of a losing cause. If you're going to condense the offices, if you're going to get a condense the Raw roster, if you're going to condense the SmackDown roster, if you're going to condense the international offices, if you're going to condense the international roster, why wouldn't you do it NXT? Why? Because people online are going to cry? So you look at the stars that are being cultivated now. Bron Breakker is younger than I think Guevara and Jungle Boy and others. The guy is, what, 24? Breakker is fucking 24 years old. You mean to tell me that this NXT 2.0 is not cultivating? A lot of the wrestlers that were there before were already established stars. And when they got opportunities on the main roster, a lot of people online would kill it. Put it down. Instead of trying to take chicken shit and try to turn it into chicken salad or try to, you know, look at the better part of it, people just insisted that they focus on all the negative stuff, and that kills momentum. because when it carries over into the live crowd is indifferent. The live crowd doesn't give a shit about the person. In social media, everybody puts them down. You know, it was, what, tell me where WWE is going to see otherwise. You know, thank God they kept going with Damian Priest, because early on, Damian Priest was not getting much of a reaction either, and Damian Priest is older in age. You know, but they stuck to it. They saw something more, you know. So, anyway, Mandy Rose retaining the women's championship over Raquel Gonzalez and Cora Jade. With all due respect, like I said last week in the predictions, I like Cora Jade. Cora Jade is on her way. She's only 19 years old. Anybody that thinks that it's time for Cora Jade to be women's champion, they're just living for the moment. She is. It's similar to Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan is not ready to be the ring general and tell a story in a match. She had to rely on Becky Lynch to set everything up. Liv Morgan delivered. But Liv Morgan, when she's ready to dictate, that's when she'll be champion. So you have Cora Jade, who is doing well, but there's no rush. There is no freaking rush. You're doing a disservice for Cora Jade to give that idea that she's ready to be champion now, where you know that that's not the case. Just because you like her, just because she, you know, for whatever reasons, you know, doesn't mean that she should be women's champion. Raquel Gonzalez, I think she's main roster bound. I think she may appear in the Royal Rumble. So right now, Mandy Rose is doing a fine job. She's doing a fine job. You don't break what's not, you don't fix what's not broken. Riddle and MSK over Walter and Imperium. You know, last week we said it too. You know, you do this whole thing with MSK and Riddle being the shaman. And hey, you know, we talked about it yesterday on Patreon. You know, you remember before the shaman was revealed, Mish and I had that discussion about Jeff Hardy and said that Jeff Hardy, you know, it would be nice to see him do a little bit in NXT. And if you remember, after Jeff Hardy left, I said, do you think AJ Styles is going to replace Jeff Hardy as the veteran babyface who's also a high flyer? And he may end up in NXT. Now we have next week, Grayson Waller versus AJ Styles. I haven't really thought about who's going to win in the match yet, but I like it. It seems like AJ Styles is picking up what Jeff Hardy was supposed to do. But the match with MSK and Riddle yesterday was excellent. Against Imperium and Walter. Phenomenal. Look at NXT. Look at Imperium. Walter obviously is overseas for most of the time, so obviously, unless he is willing to stay here for a while, but he has obviously a big deal, you know, to do in NXT UK. But you look at Imperium. I mean, you start breaking down how many parts of NXT that are pretty damn good, you're going to criticize that as a developmental territory. You really start thinking, and then you still got LA Knight there, and you do have some other good talents. Cameron Grimes, I think everybody likes. There's quite a few wrestlers there that still are pretty damn good. They got a nice little nucleus. But again, if you are older and you can't deliver now, unfortunately, you got to look, you know, get a BlackBerry. Because at least you won't get the text from Johnny Ace if it comes in. They have a nice nucleus. If people take time just to look at that roster and really look at all the talents that are there, and you just list it. You're like, you know what? NXT 2.0 is not freaking bad right now. And again, I'll say it again. If Adam Cole would have remained, if Johnny Gargano would have remained right now, who the hell would they have gone up against? Von Wagner? Andre Chase? You know, is that what people really wanted? Is that your fantasy match? Oh my God, I got to see Von Wagner, Kyle O'Reilly too. Adam Cole did everything he could have in NXT. Realistically, it would have been a step down if Adam Cole would have stood there. And you would have had a large voice on social media. Oh, fuck, is Adam Cole not a champion right now? the guy who's the best wrestler in that company and they give the fucking champion, even if it was Bron Breakker, you know there would be a lot of noise out there. This is how you're using Adam Cole? He jobs out to blah, blah, blah? Yeah, that's probably would have happened. And everybody would have crapped on it anyway. So we had a little back and forth with Andre Chase and Harland. Little confusing, excuse me, Von Wagner. It was a little confusing because Andre Chase, I can't stand. And Von Wagner, because Andre Chase had his little group, his little university there. And it looked, they tried to perceive that Von Wagner was just pulling people out from the crowd. And he gets thrown out of the building and he passes Diamond Mind in the back and staring him down. I don't like Von Wagner. Like I said, if WWE Films was still doing a horror film or something, he'd be perfect for it. But again, right now, it's developmental. They're going to throw a lot of shit on the wall and see what sticks. Now you see Karen Chu. We talked about her a couple of weeks ago. People knew who she was. People knew that she was Mei Yang. They knew, you know, that she was a wrestler sleeping in the crowd. But people were like, oh my God, NXT is so fucking boring. Look, people are sleeping. And this was, and we're talking about podcasters now. And this is after people say, no, it's Karen Q. She's now going to be Karen Chu. They knew who she was. They just like to put down and put down and put down and put down. And when changes are made, what are you making the changes for? Wendy Chu. I mixed the words together. Wendy Chu. And it's C-H-O-O. Some people were spelling it Chu, like in Blue Chu yesterday. Some people were spelling it like C-H-U. It's Chu, C-H-O-O. So Bron Breakker beats Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Heavyweight Championship. Excellent match. Tommaso Ciampa, you know, has had a couple of battles with Bron Breakker. As I said last week, you're starting off a new year. You start off fresh. It was time to put it on Bron Breakker. You know, I don't know where this leaves Tommaso Ciampa. I mean, the grizzled veteran, you have a tag team that is the grizzled young veteran. I don't know where Ciampa goes from here. Is Ciampa interested in becoming a trainer? I don't know. Ciampa is still, he could still perform at an elite level. Ciampa, unless he is looking to just dial it back, he would be crazy to, you know, pack up his wrestling career and become a trainer. If WWE is willing to have him used, you know, both ways, where he wrestles a little bit and he's also a trainer, maybe. The problem is, who does he feud with? Who does he beat? What title could he possibly carry down the line? You have to build the stars of tomorrow. A developmental territory puts the belts on developmental stars. You don't put it on the people that really are not developing anymore. Bron Breakker was the right decision yesterday. I loved the moment afterwards where Rick Steiner went to the ring and got to hug his son and pose with his son for a little bit. Bron Breakker is a star. And just think of how few matches he's had. He hasn't had 20 matches yet. He might have had, what, 10? I mean, again, in his lifetime, he has wrestled with his uncle and his father many times in their home, in the gym. But now, as a professional wrestler for a promotion, WWE, he's been there almost a year. And, you know, I'm not comparing him to Goldberg, but I remember when Goldberg came onto the scene in the late 90s, and right out of the school and got that first win against Bill DeMont and got on that roll. I mean, at first, you know, people are like, who the hell is this guy? But then just a little more and a little more and a little more, and you could see the crowd getting into him and the crowd, you know, and you just run with it. You freaking run with it. And he's now the NXT Heavyweight Champion. Who he feuds with first, I have no idea. I'm a little curious, what do you do with Dexter Lumis at this point? Dexter Lumis can't be comedy all the time. So, look, I'm not going to be one of those that is going to put names like, oh, I'm really concerned about this wrestler or this wrestler or this wrestler. That is so wrong. Imagine you still being employed with WWE and you go on social media and people are saying, oh, blah, blah, blah. I bet you he or she is next. How do you think that person feels? You know, I don't want to be that person to do that. But, you know, I'm just looking ahead and I'm saying to myself, there are a handful of wrestlers on that roster. You just say to yourself, where do they fit in? I don't know where they fit in. And even if Johnny Gargano wants to return to WWE, is Johnny Gargano young enough that he could blend in with this developmental? Would he get paid accordingly for working for a developmental? I don't know. And I don't know if he is willing to go to a main roster. So once, you know, he and his wife give birth, you know, him and Candice LeRae give birth, you know, after a few months, I'm sure that decision. Now, I might as well throw this out there because this just freaking baffles me. And of course, nobody calls him out on it. And we're going to wrap this up. We're going to bring this home. AEW is bringing Beach Break back for 2022. And they announced that Beach Break is going to take place in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Wolstein Center, January 26th. Friends, I looked it up myself. I thought, okay, maybe there's something I'm missing about Cleveland, Ohio. They're doing Beach Break January 29th. The average temperature on January 29th in Cleveland, Ohio, the high is 36 degrees. The low, the average is 21 degrees. You're doing Beach Break in January in a town that doesn't even get 40 degree temperature. Why not do Winter is Coming in California? Why don't you do Winter is Coming in the desert? Explain to me the logic of doing Beach Break in January in Cleveland. I know a lot of people think, oh, they're doing that because Johnny Gargano is going to appear. I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. But I know a lot of people were waiting for this. Yes, we'll do the contest now. anybody goes back with me with my TNA coverage days, that infamous night where Abyss, Jeff Jarrett, Jeff Hardy had that sign, they're coming in the middle of the ring, and there was spelled T-H-E-R-E, that infamous sign. They're coming! They're coming! Tony Khan did an interview with, I think, Z100 from my neck of the woods today. And in that conversation, they were talking about dream signings that are on their way. He actually used they. So when they were talking about dream signings, Tony Khan actually said they're coming. Now, the big question is, he didn't use he. He didn't use she. He used they. Who is they? A lot of people think Jeff Hardy. That would be a dream signing because you get the Hardys in AEW. They would do a little bit. I don't know if the Briscoes would be a dream signing. With all due respect, you know, nothing against some wrestlers that are more hardcore or street fighters, you know, maybe for a small version of indie wrestling fans or a small audience of Ring of Honor, I don't know if the Briscoes are household names. If you debut the Briscoes on the East Coast, then I think you would give this perception that they're bigger than what they are. I'm not saying that the Briscoes wouldn't be great in AEW. I don't know if they would be classified as dream signings. I don't know. It would be pretty epic when they were talking about dream signings, if he would have been talking about someone with the last name Clark. Rams fan, you'd be surprised how many people have not seen Briscoe matches. So I know it's a little late, but shout out to AS7607. I hope you got my PayPal earlier. There's a few of you out there that were supposed to send me something the last couple of days, and you haven't. To those that did and wanted to be remain anonymous, I did send it over today. I added a little bit to it, but hope you're doing well, and Happy New Year, Merry Christmas to you. Big Armada 1988. He doesn't get how people are this mad over releases when they weren't even being used, or better yet, misused in the first place. Look, I think the majority of people upset today were upset about William Regal more than anything else. Timothy Thatcher, honestly, almost no one out there ever really invested any interest in him, other than a very small core group of people online. Hideki Suzuki did nothing. And we even joked about it maybe like 4 to 6 weeks ago that he's like a potted plant. I mean, we were joking, like he never had a match, not even one. What was he supposed to be in Diamond Mine? Like, really, what was he? The whole Diamond Mine concept, unfortunately, did not work out. Obviously, it's changed dramatically from what it originally was supposed to be with Arturo Ruas and some others. But like I said, the William Regal, I am with everybody out there. I mean, I get you want to streamline your company, but William Regal, like, if I was to start a company, William Regal, if he was available, man, he would be like the biggest influence for my Stars of Tomorrow. That's why, like I said, you know, I want to think that maybe there's more to this story with William Regal that we don't know about. Of course, most people out there will not even entertain that thought. They'll just say WWE don't give a shit about nobody anymore and they're cruel and this and that. You know, William Regal has had some health issues. William Regal is, you know, taken more time off. You know, maybe he, you know, wanted part of this too. Maybe this was something that they were planning for a while. I don't know. But I'm not going to simply write it off that, okay, this is just another release that, you know, WWE's just, you know, very, very cold about. It could very well end up being. And honestly, I will unfortunately take that side until proven otherwise, because they've released so many people. You know, you can't help but to say to yourself, what really was different here? William Regal, I thought, was a huge mistake. And I think WWE knows his value. I mean, but again, remember what his official titles were in WWE. So maybe those titles are not needed for the foreseeable future. And William Regal, especially if he still resides overseas, you know, I don't think they want to pay him to come in just to give a little bit of advice here, a little bit of advice there. And, you know, obviously somebody's got to scout talent. So if William Regal's not going to be the one doing it, who is? Who is? It felt like for a few years, with all due respect to my international friends out there, for a few years, and I think people in the U.S. will agree with me on this one, it felt like WWE was going out of their way to try to hire people from every country out there. And sometimes it felt like there were more people signed from people overseas than people within the United States. I'm just saying the perception. So this might be a sign that, you know, maybe because of COVID, maybe because they're not traveling overseas, maybe all of this, they have to put on hiatus for a year or two. You're not going to pay prime money to keep people on the payroll for a year or two if they can't be used in those roles. Of course, with William Regal, you know, you find something, but again, there might be more to this story. So, to be continued. Rams fan, even thank you for the $5 super chat, my friend. Even though he gets to hear Maranal and Bellator, it would be nice to have Goldie call the NXT World title match. And he loves Breaker as the new champ. Well, I'll give you a little bit of news in case you're not aware of it. Matt Stryker was let go by Impact Wrestling today. Matt Stryker, I'm not saying he was happy about the releases in WWE, but Matt Stryker was probably like, wow, at least the attention is off of me today. Matt Stryker let go by Impact Wrestling. And I was thinking, you know, Ian Riccaboni, would he be a good fit in Impact? Just throwing that idea out there. I'm not saying Marinaro to Impact Wrestling, but Matt Stryker leaving Impact, and I don't think this was his choice. If you looked at his tweet today, you know, he was very disappointed. So this looked like this was on Impact more than anything else. So we will see. We will see. But Matt Stryker is no longer on the Impact Wrestling commentary team. So we'll see where that goes. Yeah, I think that's it as far as news. So let's quickly do this. Let's announce, we're going to pick it live, and let me also announce the winners. So somebody live right now is going to win this Johnny Gargano autograph plaque, and it's to celebrate him being the first ever Triple Crown winner. It's still in the plastic, but I wanted to show you how big this freaking thing is. This thing is huge. Now, I'm not trying to, like, hope, you know, somebody wins it in the United States, but I will tell you, this would be a nightmare to ship overseas. So someone is going to win that. We're going to pick it live in a few moments. But first, let me announce this. I will put the official announcement in the community section so the winners can pick their prize. Now, for those that may not remember, on New Year's Eve, we were giving out 8 autographed photos. The photos are shown on the screen. Becky Lynch, Mandy Rose, Dr. Britt Baker, Liv Morgan, Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, Thunder Rosa, and Sasha Banks. And it was Guess the Rampage Rating Contest. And we were going to pick 8 winners. And how it worked was whoever came closest predicting the Rampage rating would get first choice of whichever photo they wanted from this list of 8. The bobblehead is not included. That is me in the middle. That is not included. So whoever won got first dibs. They choose whichever photo they want. Whoever came in second gets second choice, and it goes down the list to number 8. Now, I will say this. Kevon Lewis came in 8th. He predicted 467,000 for the Rampage rating. The actual rating was 453. Now, Al Nahia and Keenan McDowell also predicted 467, but Kevon Lewis was the first one to do so. So Kevon gets the 8th pick. If any of the 8 do not claim their prize, then Al Nahia will get an opportunity. And if it ends up 2, then Keenan McDowell. But right now, unfortunately, they just missed the contest. So, Chris L., congratulations. You predicted the Rampage rating of 455,554. You go, because that was my little piece of advice. Don't just round off your number. So he actually was closest, so he gets first dibs. You don't have to pick it now. I'm sure some of them are sleeping. But in the community section, we will go in order. Once Chris picks his photo, then Rockstar Wolfie, who predicted 456 on a rating, he will go second. Lion 2012 will choose third. He had 450,000 for a rating. Anthony Alston was fourth with 457. Joseph Acevedo the fourth was fifth, predicting 445,000. Roger Rubio was sixth with his prediction of 464,000 on the rating. Lincoln, the Trojan King, was seventh with a ratings prediction of 442. And Kevon Lewis was eighth with his rating prediction of 467. So that is the order of picking the photos. Once Chris, now what we'll do is we'll give them 3 days to pick their prize. If Chris does not claim his prize by Saturday, then unfortunately Chris gives up his, and then Rockstar will be the one to choose. We'll give them 3 days to choose the prize. It's only fair. We don't want this to stretch out for a month. So now let's give away this Johnny Gargano plaque. Now, basically, the rules were simple. I will go off screen for a minute. Last Friday, during the New Year's Eve podcast, we said that everyone out there that wanted to be in on the Gargano contest, what you had to do is in your comment section, in the comment section, post a comment and then include hashtag 2022. So I'm going to randomly pick a winner right now. And Kay Daugherty, congratulations to you. You have won the Johnny Gargano autographed signed plaque. Like I said, hopefully you don't live in like the distant part of the world, because I'm having problems shipping a CM Punk card. Somebody won in Australia, and the post office told me it cost $69 to ship a card to Australia. I told them, get the fuck out of here. So, yeah, so reach out to me. You know, you got a couple of days. If I don't hear from you by Monday, then we'll have to choose another winner. So congrats. So with that said, I think we are done. If you want to see some ratings, I'll give you this right now. NXT yesterday did 685,000, an increase of 3.5%. Their ratings have actually gone up. If you look at NXT over the last 4 or 5 weeks, with the exception of, I think, Thanksgiving week for some reason, their ratings are, you know, taking some nice increases. And I will say this, props to everybody out there that does not compare NXT's rating with Rampage. Two totally different products, two totally different nights. You know, it's totally unfair. But nice to see NXT in the condition that it's in. Yes, it had a New Year's Evil theme to it, but they advertised 4 matches. Riddle obviously gave a little bit of a rub. And I loved Riddle hitting the RKO during the match. He hit it on, I think it was Marcel Barthel, I believe. But that match was fun. I mean, everything about New Year's Evil was fun, with the exception of the Andre Chase stuff. I could have done without that. But, yeah, those are your ratings for this week. So with that said, I am going to jet out of here. I know we ended up going a little bit longer, but I really wanted to spend a little bit of time about the releases. Look, that was 40 minutes by itself, and I thought it was necessary because, again, you know, we want to be emotional about these releases. Of course, we think they suck. We want to be emotional about William Regal because everybody loves William Regal, and you see the outpouring of appreciation from wrestlers, those who have made it, those who haven't, those who never will. He took his time and cared about everybody. And, you know, I'm hoping there's more to this story because it's almost confusing why they would let him go out of everybody. But I also want to keep it in perspective, too. For people out there that want to insist that everything that Triple H signed is gone, you look at that Raw roster, you look at that SmackDown roster, from all the women down to the Usos to Roman Reigns and everyone else, and then you look at all the trainers that are there for 10 years, 8 years. There is so much that is still there, but people will try to give you the impression that it's not the case. So, of course, we want to have compassion, and of course we want to express our disgruntledness about this, but we also want to spit out a little bit of facts as well. And again, you look at the Triple H quotes. If you want to go check it out, it is the 2016 interview that he did with ESPN. Just go on Google and type Triple H ESPN 2016. There are so many quotes in that interview that you could put online that goes completely against what everybody is saying right now. Soon, little by little, people realize Triple H is a part of WWE. He's not this outsider that people are trying to almost brainwash you to believe. Triple H is part of management. Triple H is part of World Wrestling Entertainment. Until I see the investors expressing concern and then hearing what WWE's response to the investors would be, I'm not going to take an overly passionate writer, podcaster, website that has no experience, no investment, no financial investment, and I'm supposed to follow them, but yet people are investing millions and millions of dollars in WWE on not bringing that up. Doesn't that in itself sound confusing to you? It sure does to me. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Check it out. Tomorrow on Q&A, I'm going to have a little announcement here. I reached out to a lot of our channel members here, asking them privately, you know, what do you want added for the channel membership? And I got almost the same response over and over and over again. They want a show dedicated for channel members. And a lot of you out there want me to have a live stream with channel members. Because early on in 2021, people were sending in questions and then I would read them. A lot of people want to hang out live, that want to chat, that want to talk on the phone. So we may end up either making Thursdays or Sundays a show that will be available for everybody. But live, it would be available for channel members. So I don't want to lock anybody out, but that is something that, you know, and look, they, along with our super chatters and patrons, you know, this obviously costs money too. They are the ones that also help. I mean, you can help too by just spreading the word about what I do. But, you know, obviously I'm not going to put in this much time and effort and put myself in hock. And, you know, so obviously I got to give back a little bit. So that is something we'll talk about tomorrow. So anybody, especially that's a channel member, tune into tomorrow's Q&A. So we'll talk about it. We'll go a little further. But all right, everybody, much love. Tomorrow is January 6th, but guess what? I know a lot of people out there will think about the morons that invaded the Capitol last year. For me, January 6th will always be one thing and one thing only, and that is my dad's birthday. So tomorrow I will not be giving two shits about the Capitol and all those whack jobs that invaded it. Tomorrow I'll be thinking about my dad. So everyone be well, much love. Please post your feedback in the comment section, especially about what I said tonight. Am I way off on the things that I said? Is there anything that I said that kind of surprises you? What do you think about Dynamite tonight? You know, what's your favorite memory with William Regal outside of War Games? I'd love to see all your feedback. So post it. All right, everybody, be well. I'll catch you all again tomorrow night, 10:05 p.m. right here, and we'll have a fun show. So be well, everybody. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.